Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. Today we're Luke chapter 11, verse 29 to 36. When we wrapped up last week, well, we heard about unclean spirits and what happens to them when they no longer possess people and what happens to those people who are emptied of unclean spirits. And we also heard that we are blessed to hear the word of God and to obey it. So that's kind of what we did last week. And now we continue. So here it is, Luke 11, 29 to 36. When the crowds were increasing, Jesus began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And see, something greater than Solomon is here. People of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment of this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the proclamation of Jonah. And see, something greater than Jonah is here. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp to your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it's not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you the light with its rays." There you go. That's perfectly clear. Oh my. So, on the face of it, what I think I'm hearing, crowds are growing. Jesus is getting more and more popular. Right, we get that. And Jesus begins to say, you know what, this generation's an evil generation. When we say that, that is a real bite to it, an evil generation. But I think he means a generation certainly removed from God. I don't know that they're street gangs going around beating people up, robbing and burning buildings, okay? I don't know if it's that kind of evil. I don't know that it is horribly corrupt, you know, where everybody's cheating and stealing from everybody. I don't know that. What I think he is saying is it's an evil generation. It's a generation removed from God, much like the people of Nineveh. And if you don't know the story of Jonah and Nineveh, please go and have a look at it. It's a great story. But you know, Nineveh was a great city, but they really didn't have a whole lot of time for God. They thought they did, but they didn't. And then Jonah came, and with his preaching, they turned around, which really bothered Jonah because Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. Other part of the story. But anyway, but they did. They had the whole of the city. And again, this was a city that would take a man 3 days to walk across. Okay, it was a humongous city in the story. They all repented. They all sat in ashes and sackcloth and did all the things you're supposed to do. They repented and restored their relationship with God. So it seems to me that what we're saying is that this generation, so when he says this generation, he's talking about so these people, followers of the God of Abraham, these Jews, these are separated from God. Faith isn't doing the job. And the reason for that, I think he says, is because their leaders, their ardent followers are asking for a sign. But no sign's going to be given other than the sign of Jonah. Now, for Christians, that becomes an interesting thing. I mean, the sign of Jonah, because, well, Jonah was in a whale, right, for 3 days. And then he was vomited up on the shore. We know, because we know how the story goes, that Jesus will die on the cross and be in a cave for 2 days. On the third day, he will emerge. Does seem a convenient connection. So, has Luke created that connection? Did Jesus know that was what to happen? I don't know. Or is it just coincidence? And really, the big thing is that Jonah went into Nineveh, explaining to them, showing them, telling them that they were disconnected from God, and they repented. Jesus is doing the same thing, showing them, telling the people that they are disconnected from God, and they can be like Nineveh and repent. But they're not going to be. Mentions the Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them. Queen of the South, you may remember, that's the Queen of Sheba. She came to experience Solomon's wisdom and, by the way, his wealth. And she was overwhelmed by all of it. But she was quite taken by Solomon. And although he did show her, I mean, you know, he showed her his 300 wives and all of his riches and all that stuff. This big thing was his wisdom. The thing is that when she saw it, she was overwhelmed. She says in the text, I remember in the story, yeah, she went to her rooms, took off her girdle, and relaxed. She was so overwhelmed by it all. Anyway, the thing is that she asked for a sign, in a sense, and he gave it to her, and then she was satisfied, right? She didn't keep asking for more and more. She got the whole thing, and I don't think it's a coincidence. She's a Gentile, so in this, are we saying these faithful Jews who keep asking for sign after sign after sign after sign, showing that that's really they're not faithful, but the Gentiles are going to get it? Like the Queen of the South, they're going to get it, and they're going to condemn you. And the thing is, it's not like there's a lack of signs. Jesus has done things, right? I mean, we've healed people, we've driven out demons, we have fed thousands of people with meager resources. Jesus has done signs. But having seen one sign, ask for another sign. Or it wasn't the sign that I wanted, or it wasn't quite the right sign, or I could interpret that sign in a different way. Jesus is going, enough. Enough. Given you the sign. Queen Sheba, the Queen of Sheba, she got it. Didn't need more. The people of Nineveh, they got it. They didn't need more. The fact that you keep asking again and again means you're not getting it. So I wonder how that applies to me. That applies to us. We who are not Nineveh, we who are not the Queen of Sheba. Well, the next little bit sort of makes me think there's something. Okay, so then Jesus is then quoted as saying, "No one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar, but on the lampstand so that those who enter may see the light." We recognize that. We've heard those words in Matthew, right? Matthew 5. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it's not healthy, your body is full of darkness. You ask for signs, but you don't see them. They're right there for you if you want to see them. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. The signs are there, but you're not seeing them. And then he says, then consider whether the light in you is not darkness. Like, are you fooling yourself? Because if your whole body is full of light, then no part of it is in darkness. It'll be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays. If you are full of light, you wouldn't need the signs, I think. So then I ask myself, am I seeing the signs, or am I continuing to ask for the signs? I mean, it seems to me that when it comes to seeing signs, there's a choice there. What I see as a sign, you might see as a coincidence. What I see as a sign, you might not even notice at all. But I have chosen to make it. I've chosen to make it a sign. I've chosen to see it as recognition of God in the world. And we can sit and have a rational argument and say, well, Norm, that the sun comes up every morning. Just because you got up this morning and saw the sun come up and you felt God's presence doesn't mean that the sun is a sign of God's presence. The sun comes up all the time. True. An astronomer and a person of faith may look at that sunrise differently. An environmentalist and a meteorologist may look at that differently. We see different things. The thing is, what is it that we choose to see? I choose to see it as a sign that God says, we're doing this again. Here's a new day. So when I see a sunrise, I see an invitation from God to start fresh today. I don't need to carry the burdens of yesterday with me. I don't need to carry the grudges or the hurts. There may be some things that I've got on my to-do list, but I don't have to carry that baggage. I get a brand new day today. I was so flawed yesterday. I'm starting fresh today. And so I see this as a sign, an invitation from God to start fresh. If I'm talking to a meteorologist, well, what are you talking about, Norm? What I'm seeing is at 6:14 the sun came up, and that's important to notice because the days are getting longer. By the way, it's a red sky this morning, so shepherds take warning. We see different things, but that's what I hear is it's your decision to see these things. This evil generation, they don't want to see what's in front of their faces. They don't want to see God at work in the world, because if they did, they'd recognize Jesus. That, I think, is what Jesus is saying. And that's what, as a person of faith, I would say. They're not recognizing that Jesus is exactly what they're looking for, because they've decided that what they're looking for is going to be dressed in green. And they've decided that what they're looking for is going to do this little thing exactly that way. And if that doesn't happen, then they are not going to see it. I have a friend who seriously won't eat a meal if oregano is on it. Doesn't matter. You can put it over here. No. I'm not eating any of it. Right? It's just, okay. I didn't find that little thing. This can't be miraculous. Oh, that good work that someone did. Yeah, but they didn't give credit to Jesus for it. Therefore, that can't be a work of God. Because if it was, they describe all the glory to God through Jesus. Really? So that can't be a good thing now. Wow. What are you seeing? What do you want to see? And is it bringing light to you? How healthy are your eyes that way? Your spiritual eyes. What are you looking for in the world? Are you looking to see your enemies defeated? Are you looking to see your enemies humiliated? Are you looking to see people make mistakes? Are you looking to see the flaws in others? Are you looking to see your reflection in the glass? What are you looking to see? That is going to mediate that light that's in you. And maybe what you really got in there is darkness. If all you're doing is going around looking for failure and mistakes and your enemies to be humiliated, that's just a lot of darkness that you're taking in. But if you're looking to see love flourish and opportunity to be presented, if you're looking to see people change, if you're looking to see the efforts that people make, if you're looking to see your own efforts aligned with the efforts of others and the will of God, if that's what you're looking to see, then suddenly, oh my God, I am part of this thing now. I am part of God's will. I am doing that in the world. And look, there's other people doing it. And now I feel connected. I feel light in me. If I'm looking around going, he's doing that wrong, and that son of a, I'm going to beat him for sure. I'm going to get there first, absolutely. I'm going to show him that I'm the better. What am I seeing? What am I taking in? I'm taking in the darkness. You know, the people who demand signs all the time are demanding this kind of affirmation from outside. Prove to me, show me that you're from God. And I think what Jesus would say is that you know inside that something is from God. However it's labeled, however it's advertised, you know the truth. Look inside. Does it bring light to you? Does it draw you to the light? You know these things. Why are you asking for signs? I think Jesus would say, you hear what I'm saying. You see what I do. Why are you asking for signs? You know. I mean, and I think about that. I go, you know, if Jesus had gone around spouting hate and vile things, but could part the Red Sea and feed 10,000 people from a candy bar, where I go, well, that must be God's will. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look at that. No, I mean, yeah, no, he certainly seems to be a racist, misogynist, horrible human being who just wants me to go to war with my siblings. But he did the thing. He did fed everyone with a candy bar. That must be from God. That must be God's will. I'd like to think I'd say no. No, I don't know what the trickery with the candy bar is. I don't know what strange magic goes on that he could part the Red Sea like that. But what I do know is that God does not want me to hate my siblings. God does not want me to go to war. God does not want me to disparage or diminish any of my siblings, any of creation. How do I know that? Well, I read the scriptures. I've grown in faith, but when all is said and done, I know that from inside. I know that from inside because I do my best to take light in to myself. I do look to see God at work in the world. I do look to see for those moments, and so that light inside me helps me discern. And then I can look at a sign and go, yep, I get that. Or I can not need a sign because I just see the action itself. It's not a sign, I see it. I see God at work in the world, not a sign of it, I see it. It's not a sign anymore because it aligns with the light that's in me. These people keep asking for sign after sign after sign. They're trying to trip Jesus up. Prove to us. And Jesus goes, I don't have to prove anything to you. You know. And it's important, I think, for me to remind myself that I do know. That if I meet somebody or see something going on in the world, I don't necessarily have to pull up my Bible right now and look to see if it's precedented, to see if it, or, oh yeah, that happened in Numbers. Okay, that must be a real thing. No, I can tell. I know. Faith, faith was a very real thing before there was Scripture. There was faith before the Gospels. There was faith before Paul's letters. There was faith before the Hebrew Scriptures. There was faith. These Scriptures help us to understand our faith, to make sense of our faith, to connect us to the to people of faith who spread over thousands of years, and we learn from the collective wisdom. But that book, the Bible, is not in and of itself faith. It helps us to bring light into ourselves that we might discern what is faithful, even when we can't find it in the Bible. To me, that's what Jesus is talking about. It's not about signs anymore. Today, I can imagine, I've had this happen, where somebody comes and goes, well, show me in the Bible where it says that. Show me in the Bible where it says that I have to embrace trans people. No, I don't have a verse for that. Absolutely, I don't. But my experience of Scripture and living my life of faith has brought light into me. And so I know this to be true. I know this to be faithful because of the light, not the darkness. I know it from the light. And by the way, if we want to talk about this in the light, we can learn from each other. Maybe you do have something to share with me, and maybe I have something to share with you, and maybe together we will discover more light, and we will act more faithfully if we're actually open to each other. Your eye is the lamp to your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. Well, what am I seeing? What am I looking for? That's the real question for me. And how does it help me determine what is faithful and what is not? I'm going to leave this with you because I can see this turning into a sermon, and I didn't think it was going to at all. I'm going to let it go for now and invite you to wonder about it today, just as I'm going to spend some time wondering about it today. For now, however, let me just simply offer a prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to wonder, to imagine, and to hear your word emerge from old scripture, old stories. Your word to emerge vital and new. Your word that speaks to us here and now and invites us into deeper relationship with you and each other. God, we pray that as we hear your word, we follow and grow. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is enough for me today, and it's not lost on me as I look at my screen and realize that as I'm talking about light and darkness, I'm wearing a t-shirt, with an old pulp magazine from The Shadow on my chest. wasn't planned. I hope you have a fantastic day today. I hope you spend some time wondering, and I hope that you know that you are blessed. That is to say that God sees you and loves you exactly as you are, exactly where you are. And that God's love not only embraces you, but moves through you into the world. You share God's love in all that you do, whether you know it or not. Thank you for being you. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.